families of people, or whether it was mainly couples, or?
Well, yes. The Bernard family, there were four boys and a girl of my husband's generation, and his mother had a spinster aunt who lived with them. That was a good-sized family. And the house next to the Fletcher apartments, families have never stayed there very long, maybe 8 or 10 years, and they've moved on. And I remember, I could name quite a few families who have been in that house, but they aren't in Elkins anymore. Their names wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah. People just pretty much come and gone.
And
do you remember the families that lived around the Park Street? Houses along in there?
Yes. The Kane family would be the oldest family there, and then the Earl family next to the Kane property. Del Earl, who built that house, he was a native of Elkins, and then his daughter inherited the house. You may know Dick Earl, don't you? The deals in automobiles
no,
up on
yeah.
Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd be a grandson of the Del Earl who built that house on Park Street.
Which house is this now?
Well, it's a big brick house. Well, let's start at the corner of Buffalo Street. That Margaret Wyatt that's up at D&E, she lives in that kind of brown bungalow cottage or whatever. Then next is the Kane house. And this is the second generation of Kanes who've lived there. That's an old Elkins family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next house is the Earl house. A brick, brown brick, or maybe it's red.
Large, squarish building.
Yes, and a rather
front
large
porch.
Porch, yes. Mm-hmm. Faces park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the next house, a lot of families have lived there. I can't remember names. No one family has stayed in that house. And on around, on Randolph Avenue, a beautiful home with a Wilson. The W.G. Wilson home was just a show place, and it was torn down, and that's where Scotty's restaurant is.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gorgeous home there.
Yeah, I've always heard that about that place.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that look nice, I wanted to show you this photograph that I came across. That shows the that house taken about
yes.
in the 1920s, mid-20s,
yes.
I think.
Now, this maple tree, is it still living? Oh, that's an excellent picture.
Possibly. I know that there's a number of them that are in there that are still.
What's the date for this?
About the mid-20s.
Yes.
Sometime between 24 and 27.
Polinos planted the shrubbery. There's some pink dogwood over here now.
Mm-hmm.
That shows up that window well. And these two windows, now this is where that big room is on the third floor. It goes clear across the front there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two windows like these on the side. And then the dark room was here, and two more windows were put in the dark room. And this is a small bedroom. And the bath that was put in faces the forestry building.
Okay.
So do ask Brooke if you can go up there.
Okay. So the Polinos were the one who changed the porches then. They put the square columns up in the place of the round ones and then changed the railing up around the top? Or when did that take
yes.
place?
The Polinos did that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. And
When was the house painted white?
Oh, the Polinas did it. Mm-hmm.
What color would it have been in this picture?
Brown. Brown with a kind of a cream color trim. Mm-hmm. It wasn't clear white.
And then the brick was just kept its natural color?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the some of it's shingles, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what would have been painted, the kind of the brown that you mentioned?
Or? Yes. Mm-hmm. To go with the brick. And this is a bathroom, and seems to me the Polinas covered this window. That type window has a special name. I can't come up with it. But I think on the inside they enclosed that window.
Yeah, recently they...
This owner opened it up.
Right, and I understand that that's stained glass.
Yes, uh-huh.
That oval window.
Uh-huh. And something else that Polinas did in the library, but either side of the fireplace, there are bookshelves now and some drawers down below, all mm-hmm. in cherry wood. Well, the Polinas, for some reason, didn't like the looks of those small bookshelves on either side of the fireplace. And they put plywood and covered up those bookshelves and the drawers and papered over.
Hmm.
And there was a nice window seat in the library underneath that big window. And there was always a long corduroy covered cushion there. And they took that seat out. And the girls have it out on the front porch. It's made out of cherry, too. And it's just a great big long seat.
Hmm.
Out on the front porch now, but originally it was for that big window in the library.
Oh. Hmm.
And it's nice that the foliage isn't out. You can see more.
Yeah, it's like a springtime picture, uh-huh. It looks like.
Yes.
Now, originally, did that building have a slate roof?
I don't know. When I was young, a roof didn't mean anything right. to me.
Okay, just trying to get an idea of
the
color scheme.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's had a coal-fired furnace, and then it was gas and back to coal. And depending on the price, coal was cheap back in those days, you know,
mm-hmm.
comparatively to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And had a cellar door here where the ashes were taken out and dumped. That was my room there. And the...
The one that had the kind of the bay window to it?
Yes.
On the side.
And mm-hmm. back of this room was the room that we called the sunroom. It was just another bedroom, had windows in it, and there are doors from this bedroom back to that room. And Linda has a little trundle bed in there. I think when she gets guests with a child bus, she puts them in that room, mm-hmm. she's told me.
Yeah.
Well, where's the picture that you wanted me to identify somebody?
Oh, yeah, I'll show you that here. This is the one that's from the library's collection. And that's all it says, just the Green family. But on the back, it gives a little bit of a better idea of the location.
Elm Street. Silent. Yes, I know just where it is.
It's been changed a good bit. The porch has now been enclosed, mm-hmm. and actually the house has kind of doubled in size with the additions that have been put on, and it's got kind of green siding on it now.
Well, I know a Green family, and I knew Mrs. Green, and I knew Mr. Green. Mrs. Green was a small little woman, and I don't think either one of these women could have been Mrs. Green when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
A daughter-in-law lived of the Greens lived here about 3 years ago. her husband had died, and she moved out to Minneapolis, where her son is. She visited me about this time last year, and she might have been able to say whether or not this was Mr. and Mrs. Green, who would have been her in-laws, her husband's parents. But, no, I can't help you out on that, and I don't know of anybody in Elkins who could.
Well, looking at the time period represented by the clothing, we're probably talking about sometime around 1900 or maybe even earlier.
Yes, so, I'd say early 1900 anyway.
So, makes it a little tough there to begin with. It's a very nice photograph.
And, yes, it is.
Composition.
Nice looking ladies and pretty dresses. And that gentleman, I'm sure he's dressed up.
The interesting thing about that house, at least, is I've gone back through the deed books, and I couldn't find mention of a Green, so I didn't know if maybe someone else had owned it and rented it on out to these folks.
Oh, and there's a dog, I see.
Mm-hmm. Right. Little pug dog.
Mm-hmm. No, well, you've really searched it out then.
Well, I talked to a number of folks, and everybody said, well, you should talk to Mrs. Bernard about that.
Well,
so that's why I thought I'd bring it up.
Has anybody referred you to Cora McQueen on Elm Street? She lives across the street. She isn't well. I understand she has somebody living with her. Do you know Virginia Wolf? She lives on Elm Street.
Heard of her. I don't know her, though. Mm-hmm.
You might call her and tell her why you'd want to talk to Cora McQueen, that you have a picture of a family that lived in the house next to Peggy McBean, and ask her the condition of Cora McQueen. Now, I don't know whether Cora's mind's good or not, but if her mind's good, she is older than I am. And I don't know how long she's lived on Elm Street, but if she has lived there most of her life, she just might know these people, but I don't know.
Okay.
That's just, I can't think of anybody else.
Well, I'll check into that now. It sounds
like, but Virginia Wolf, she has a telephone. She's a retired nurse and has a mother living at the Odd Fellows home, and she's 90-some years old.
Hmm. Well, I'd like to get back just for a little bit about your family, so far as life there in the house is concerned, there on Buffalo Street. Are there any memorable events or happenings that stand out in your mind that took place there in the house?
Oh, I can remember Christmases there when our family was intact, my mother and father and I and my three brothers, we would go out to the Dye house maybe the day before Christmas. And we'd all be put to bed early, of course, and the Christmas tree would be set up. And we believed in Santa Claus for a long time. I had to continue to make my brothers believe in Santa Claus. And we had nice Christmases out there, and we'd stay for about a week. Even though we lived here in Elkins, we'd go out there for Christmas and spend several days. That was memorable, and that, of course, after my mother died and we were living out there, that those special Christmases ended. And yes, I spent my went through high school and when I was living out there in college, and had some small parties at the house, not anything much, but it was a happy home life.
You went to school there at D&E then?
Yes, Mm-hmm.
And what was your field of study then? What did you major in?
Oh, I had a major in English, but I liked to sing. I took voice lessons, and I wanted to teach vocal music, and I eventually got in the Elkins schools and taught vocal music in the grades.
Hmm. How long did you teach?
25 years.
Is that right? My wife's a teacher. She's been at it
now. I beg your pardon?
My wife is a teacher. She's been at it now for about 10. So. Yeah, she teaches out of Midland School.
Out of Pickens?
Midland.
Midland. Oh, that's a nice school. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
What's her first name?
Pam.
Pam Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she teaches special ed out there. Special education.
She works with the handicapped children, is that it?
Right. Well, ones with learning disabilities primarily. So far as the college itself was concerned, then you went to school then when the college was back at the old campus. Is that correct?
2 years.
And then you went with the college over to the new campus. That must have been a pretty exciting time.
Yes, it was. 26 it opened, the new campus.
So what was it like going from one location to the other? You probably enjoyed it, having just walk across the street versus halfway across town.
Awful climb up my winter days, and we didn't think anything about it. And had 8 o'clock classes up on that hill out there.
Usually walked all the way out there?
Yes.
Were there a number of other students from here in town that you'd join up with?
Most all of them were town students. There weren't very many out of town. And they had a small dormitory. Some of the out-of-town students lived in the dormitory that was up there. The third floor of that building was a dormitory for boys. And then there was the girls' dormitory. Do you know where the Masonic Lodge Hall is?
Yeah, I've heard they use the old Seneca Inn.
That's right.
Right.
That was the dormitory for the girls for the college there. And there was some music studio, voice studio there, and piano studio, and I think elocution. And the second floor was dormitory, and the ground floor was for studios.
So I guess the college started using that right after the hospital moved out. About that time, late teens?
Well, I remember when it was hospital, because two of my brothers were born out there. But I guess maybe the college did take it over after the hospital moved on. Gee, you know a lot about early history of Elkins.
I've been studying a bit.
Yes, no wonder you learned a lot doing that Hallihurst calendar, no doubt, didn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still a lot more to learn. That's one of the reasons why I'm here this evening. So when you went to school up, when you went from the old campus up to the new campus, do you remember anything of note? So far as those days were concerned on the college campus?
Yes, I was impressed with the library up at the new college after the library at the old college. The stacks and that library wouldn't be considered anything now, of course, but impressed me. And the chemistry lab, that impressed me at the new college. And what else? Well,
did you go to Hallihurst very often?
Yes, we had dances up there. And it was a girls' dormitory at one time, you know. And Dr. Allen, the president, he had a family of 5 boys, and his wife died and left him. These boys were all young when their mother died. And he moved his family up at Hallihurst and lived there. And then, I don't want to get him married too soon. There was a house mother up at D&E, Mrs. Carter. She had a daughter who was a student at D&E. And Dr. Allen and Mrs. Carter courted, and they got married. So that's when he moved into Hallyhurst with his boys. And there was the president's home on out here along Barron Avenue, do you know?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, he lived in there for a long time mm-hmm. until he married and moved into Hallyhurst.
So,
And we used to have dances up there. I don't know whether the Allens were living there at the time or not. Maybe Dr. Allen had moved on. He went from Elkins to... He became president of some other college. I don't know
Marshall.
It was Marshall.
Yeah, I believe it was Marshall.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. And that continued to be a girls' dormitory, I think. And fraternities and sororities had dances in the big hall up there at Hallyhurst.
Mm-hmm. Have live bands and all?
Not much of a band. It was Alex Goldberg and his violin and a banjo and maybe a saxophone and drums. And
banjo, that's interesting.
Yes, I remember a couple young people who played banjo.
Uh-huh. What kind of music then? Just the popular music of the day then?
Oh,
much?
Sure.
Swing numbers and
did
that kind of thing?
Did you hear the Cole Porter program the other night, songs he had composed on television?
No, I didn't catch that, but I'm familiar with his work.
Brought back lots of memories.
I can imagine. So what did you usually have then, if you didn't have a live band, was it records then that you'd listen to?
No.
Or how did you have the dance, I guess?
We used to dance to records in homes, but when we had a dance up there, it was always live music.
Mm-hmm.
That's too small a place for a Victrola music.
Well, I figure as much. I'm trying to get an idea of the size of the dance, too, though, I guess. Was that always in the Great Hall?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There were usually 20 girls in the sorority, and then we could ask other couples, and I'd say we had dances of 30, 40 couples up there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Which sorority is this then? To refer to?
Well, I belong to the one that eventually went Chi Omega.
Okay, this was
Phi Sigma Theta.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had a rare opportunity just yesterday. One of the current members of the sorority shared the scrapbook with me that dated from that time period. Beautiful pictures of Hallyhurst, of course, mm-hmm. the members of the sorority at that
time.
Well,
can you tell me who she is? I might know her.
Carrie Grise.
No. Carrie who?
Grise. Grize is her last name.
She's must be a
student up there now.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Younger generation, I would. I thought maybe it was one of the old timers.
No. She just happened to have access to the books, and I told her that I was interested in looking at them because she mentioned the fact that there were some pictures of
Hallie. How far back did the pictures go?
Early 20s.
Early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I might like to
see. So you might be in there. Who knows?
Could be. Mm-hmm.
One thing I was interested in finding out was the pictures of the patronesses, as they were referred to.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them lived right over here. I was surprised to find out.
Mrs. Gross was one, and a Mrs. Hazeltine, and a Mrs. Hardman, and I can remember that we picked those patronesses, the ones that had big homes, and we thought a little extra money so that they could give a tea or a dance for the sorority. The Grosses lived up here on the corner in this house.
Where the Schultzes are now?
Where the Schultzes live, yes. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being at a dance there when Mrs. Gross was a patroness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Bowers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Hill Arnold, D.H. Hill
yes.
Arnold.
Yes. I don't know whether she was a patroness or not, but yes, I know the Arnold home. And
also, I was intrigued to see a picture of Mrs. McClinic. And, of course, the McClinics were the ones who built the house mm-hmm. we live in.
Burl was her first name. Burl.
Huh.
Burl Shea McClinic,
But it was an interesting group of people.
Yes. She was a beautiful woman, always so meticulously dressed. So neat.
The picture of her here shows her with a little dog.
Yes, yes. I remember they had a dog.
Little terrier, bull terrier. Looked like a Boston bull terrier. And interestingly enough, her neighbor there, Mrs. Arnold, also was holding a little dog.
Yes. I know Mrs. Arnold's daughter, Betty Vilsack. And that dog had quite a history. Had a peculiar, an unusual name. I can't repeat it. I'll ask Betty sometime what that dog's name was.
Her daughter still lives here in town?
Yes. She lives on Randolph, you know where Hardy's is. It's on the opposite side of the street, and just recently it's a two-family house now. She did live upstairs, and after her mother died, she moved downstairs and remodeled and took in a front porch into her living room because front porches are no good on Randolph Avenue anymore. And that's where Betty lives. It's this second house from the corner.
Right, it's frame house with white siding.
Yes, it's about opposite the courthouse B&B.
Okay.
It's the second house on that side over there.
That's interesting.
It's where Mrs. Arnold's daughter lives. She's Mrs. Vilsack, V-I-L-S-E-C-K.
Okay. Well, now, after you graduated from college, then you went right into teaching?
Yes, I taught outside of Morgantown for 2 years at Star City.
Oh, really?
I taught music down there. And then I got in the Elkins schools.
So you've been here in Elkins pretty much ever since then?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Huh.
And I enjoyed it. I went to Elkins had three grade school buildings, and I went to divide my time among the three buildings.
So you taught
in junior high.
You taught at Central, First, and Third Ward?
Mm-hmm, in junior high when they moved over in their new building. So I knew all the children. I didn't know all of them by name, but they knew me. And it seemed so strange after I hadn't taught for a few years that the children didn't recognize me anymore as they had. And now the gray-haired people speak to me and say, "Oh, Mrs. Bernard, so glad to see you. You remember me, don't you? I remember when you played Ride of the Valkyries or Pomp and Circumstance. You remember that?" I had appreciation classes, and they say, "I never liked music until you made us sit still and listen to that."
All right, good for you.
Did you have to do that in your young days?
No, we had all kinds of music classes, sure, yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I'm from Winchester, Virginia, originally.
Oh, yes.
But my mother's people are from over in Monongahela County, around Morgantown. So that's why, when you said Star City, it kind of
My mom
was
eight rooms, I guess, out there. Six in one building and two in an annex. Outside toilets. It Star City in the early days.
Star City probably wasn't too big a town then, I would imagine.
It wasn't. And most all the children were of foreign extraction, and I had a lot of difficulty with the names because they were all strange to me. And now if I see any names of Morgantown or Star City people, I look for some familiar names of children that I have a recollection of, and I never see any names that I recognize.
Were they mainly children of recent immigrants, you know, Eastern European, Italian?
Oh, yes, they were. There was a glass factory at the time in Star City down there, the hill along the river. And quite a few of the men worked in the glass factory.
So what brought you back to Elkinson if you'd been there
I'd always lived here.
You've got just, there was a position that opened up then? Okay, well, I understand that, definitely. Get back to the roots and so forth, yeah. That must have been interesting times here in Elkins, especially, with the railroads being still in full swing, the tannery.
Yes, we had trains running, what, two trains a day to Cumberland and two trains in and out to Grafton and the Coal and Coke Railroad and what we called the CNI over to Durban. CNI stood for Coal and Iron Railroad. And it still was running, carrying coal. I don't know whether it goes clear to Durban or not, or just out to Slaty Fork. Are you still running that?
Yep, a little
you
bit.
You are, but what do you want all this chatter for?
Keep going. It's all good stuff to me. So what'd y'all do for entertainment come a weekend?
Well, I was courting. And there'd be dances periodically. And
here in town?
Yes, the Elks was an active organization. They had dances 3 or 4 times a year. And then my husband belonged to the fraternity at D&E, and even after we'd graduated, we went to the fraternity and the sorority dances for a while. Hmm. Then the war came along, and he went to war, and I had a husband and 3 brothers in the war, and all came home safely.
So did you all... you attend the theaters here in town at all, or
the movies? Yes, occasionally.
Which theaters were in operation in those days? Do you remember them?
Well, we had 2. The Hippodrome. That's about where the Davis Trust parking. No, the Davis Trust drive-in is. Mm-hmm. The Hippodrome was there. And then on down, that building is still there, the Manus Theater. I don't know what's in there now, but the building's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's where Appalachian Mental Health has an adult program.
What?
They have an adult program. It's like a workshop.
Yes.
Set up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, we gathered around different homes and...
You told me that you've got quite an interesting bridge. Is that something that goes back a ways?
Well, that's been more or less recent.
Oh, okay.
My husband developed multiple sclerosis when he was still right young. And he was housebound for 15 years. And I stopped teaching and took care of him. And so we were both housebound somewhat for... He was completely, and I pretty well housebound too for 15 years. And that's a crippling disease that they don't know what causes it or anything to do for it.
Well, you showed me the pictures there of your family reunion here that you just had recently. Is this something that's just happened in recent years, or has the family been coming back to town pretty frequently?
No, this is the first reunion we've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are there any other members of your family that live close by? Or?
I have a half-brother, Dick Dye, that lives over here on Cherry Street. And that's all in town.
So other members of family?
One of my brothers lives in New Hampshire, and one lived in Washington. He died fairly recently, and I have another brother in Cumberland.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time this evening to